And this brings us to the second of the three things comprising meditation. Sometimes, in the course of talks and classes, I've referred to it as meditation proper. For the purposes of this lecture, we'll call it the stage of intensification and expansion. With the attainment of concentration, with the integration of all one's energies, the unification of all one's energies, true individuality, at least on the ordinary empirical human level, has been achieved. But that is not the end. That is not enough. That individuality, that individual, must now grow, must now develop. And according to the Buddha's teaching, that individual grows and develops by passing through four successively higher spheres, or states, if you like, of existence. But inasmuch as these are somewhat remote from the experience of most people, I'm just going to mention the names which Buddhism gives to these spheres or these states. The first is called the sphere of infinite space or infinite extension. If you like, the sphere of the cosmos, the universe. The second is called the sphere of infinite consciousness, a consciousness that has no limit, that goes beyond all limits. The third is called the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception. In other words, where subject-object distinction begins to be transcended. And the fourth is called the sphere of no thingness, or nothing in particular, the sphere of one thing not being discriminated as a separate object from any other thing. Now, these four spheres, these four states, represent, we may say, not only a growth, not only a development, not only an intensification, not only an expansion of individuality, but also, paradoxically, a transcendence of individuality. It's rather, as Sir Edwin Arnold puts it in The Light of Asia, when he says, "Forgoing self, the universe grows I." The more you give up yourself, as it were, the more perfectly yourself do you become. So meditation in this sense marks, we may say, the transition from the psychological to the metaphysical, or from the psychological to the transcendental. And this at once brings us to the third and last of the three things comprising meditation. I've sometimes called it contemplation. Is traditionally known in Buddhism as insight or wisdom or as the perfection of wisdom, and it consists simply in seeing existence or seeing things exactly as it is, exactly as they are. And this, we may say, is the simplest but most difficult of all things to do, to see things just as they are, without addition, without subtraction, without falsification, without projection. It means seeing them free from all subjective conditionings whatsoever, free from all merely personal bias. So this, in brief, is the meaning of meditation. It means, in the first place, the unification and the integration, even the harmonization, of all one's psychic energies. And this unification, this integration, leads to the achievement of true individuality, true selfhood, through the achievement, through the attainment of true concentration. And this experience of selfhood, of individuality, becomes more and more intense. We can also say more and more positive. And as it becomes more intense, it begins, as it were, to expand. And the more it expands, the more it transcends itself. And the more it transcends itself and its own limitations, the more it sees existence as it is. And the more it sees existence as it is, the closer it is to reality. So this, in a nutshell, is the whole process of meditation. Integration of psychic energies, intensification and expansion of individuality, and transcendence of individuality, and seeing things as they really are.